much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I'm a professional cowboy, and I use catheters. Been cowboying for 25 years. I've broken 14 bones, had 2 concussions, and a punctured lung. I know pain, and I don't want any more of it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Day one.
Let's get started, huh?
Yeah. Ideas for a magazine.
Now, fill up a magazine with words and sentences.
Humorous.
Preferably
magazine.
Funny. Preferably funny.
I'm going to write that comedy.
That's good. Let's build on that.
And now.
Are you high?
No.
Look at my eyes, Bruce.
Not high.
I know you're high. I'm Dr. Oz.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 30th of January.
How's your morning going, Kevin?
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seemed a little tight getting in?
Yeah.
A little close?
Funny time.
Really?
Yeah, I made it with about 8 seconds, yeah. That's good for me.
I was prepared to ask Allie. I haven't spoken with Allie off air, so I was prepared to ask when the show started and you weren't here if you had made the plane last night.
Oh, please.
I thought, you know what? Wouldn't it have surprised me if somehow, because we had transportation all lined up. Everybody was meeting to go into the airport from New York yesterday. And believe me, we were all nervous, weren't we, Allie, when we heard that Kevin had, quote, made other arrangements.
Yeah, when we heard... He'll meet you there. And my immediate question was, oh, God, where is he? Oh, no, he's buying cookies. Okay. Perfect sense was made.
And then we were like, does Kevin know which airport to go to? Does he have any idea what time the flight is?
Because usually you underestimate me.
But usually we line up handlers for you, people who put a little leash on you and walk you around and make sure you get where you're going.
I'm not going to lie. I texted Christine about 5 times.
Yeah. I did see her texting Newark, Kevin.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Made sense.
Well, without handlers, I was just, I was feared that maybe you wouldn't make the
Kev Dog, eat dog.
Kev Dog.
But, we all made it. We're back. You guys?
Yes, we are.
New York one day, LA the next.
That was a great
Sorcery.
Weekend. That was a great weekend. Sorcery.
It is.
How do flights work?
Or it's an airline.
Well, you know I don't believe in air travel. I don't think
sure.
it exists. I
right.
don't think it's real. I haven't figured out how they get us from one place to the other, but I know that airplanes can't be in the air because they're too heavy.
I see.
Okay. I know that. All right. Well, we've got plenty to talk about on today's show, but I wanted to start with this, and I mentioned this off the air yesterday, Kevin, but it's time to get into your new flamethrower. I don't know why... You haven't already bought the flamethrower. There's never been a product in the history of the world that has been more custom made for you.
I mean, I was unaware of it until you pointed it out yesterday.
Yeah.
So now that I know it exists.
Buy it now. They
right?
only made 20,000 of them. They've already sold over 10,000 of them. Which means, by the way, that Elon Musk has sold over $5 million in flamethrowers in the past few days.
That's awesome.
He is a genius. He is the founder and CEO of Tesla and SpaceX, and he's always got a million things going on, this Elon Musk. In fact, he has a company called The Boring Company, and I love the idea of this. They are a company that has figured out a way to drill underground much faster and much more cheaply. When you've got a put a hole in a mountain to put a tunnel through, or you've got to, you know, do a big dig underground in Los Angeles to replace pipes and things like that.
This is the flamethrower.
No. Oh. He has a company called The Boring Company, boring like boring into the earth, that is revolutionizing that kind of work. So he decided, and I don't know if this came from him, if he's a funny guy too, or if this was somebody who suggested it, but he decided that he would start selling hats, boring hats. And I saw one of them on the street in New York yesterday. I saw a lady wearing the Boring Company hat. And he said, hey, if I sell enough of these hats, I'm going to also sell a flamethrower. That was what the joke was on Twitter. I can't remember what the number was. Buy so many hats and I'll make a flamethrower available. And sure enough, he's made a flamethrower available.
Yeah, that's crazy. That doesn't seem good. I'm gonna get it. Don't get me wrong. I'll get one.
Oh, for sure.
But it seems like a bad
idea. You need to hurry, though, I think.
Right?
That's what I'm saying is I think these things are going to be sold out like today or tomorrow, Kevin. Here's the tweet from Elon. This was from December 10th of 2017. So this was only 6 weeks ago. If we sell 50,000 Boring Company hats, we will start selling a flamethrower. And
by the way, let me just interrupt. Why? How are those two related?
Don't know. So then he tweets afterwards, I know it's a little off-brand, but the kids love it. So he tweeted this weekend. He even posted an Instagram video of himself this weekend using the flamethrower to produce a flame from about that's about 2 feet long. Now, is that enough for you, Kevin? Can you do what you need to do with only 2 feet of fire?
I mean, I can do it, but I think the limit for some reason was 10 feet?
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Legally, you can't go further than that?
The short flame length keeps it from meeting the federal definition of an illegal flamethrower, according to Mr. Musk. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives says any flamethrower with a flame shorter than a 10-foot one is A-OK. Our design is maximum fun for least danger. I would be way more scared of a steak knife, he said.
Okay, then why do you only go 2 feet?
Right. Go 8.5.
Right.
That's what I think. He's advertising it as the world's safest flamethrower. If you want or need one, it sells for about $500, by the way. They start shipping in the spring. And here's the other reason I wanted to bring it up today is anytime somebody's having too much fun, there's somebody in the government who's always willing to try to stomp it out, right?
Right.
This is a lawmaker in California. I am unfamiliar with Mr. Miguel Santiago, but here's what he says. If this is real, I am outraged and you should be too. If this is a joke, then it's a terribly insensitive one, given that we're coming off the worst wildfire season in history. Either way, it's not funny and it's not going to happen, says Miguel.
Wow.
Look. We can have fun with flamethrowers without setting wildfires.
I'm not positive that's true.
Yeah.
Really?
No.
I feel like there's a responsible way to use a flamethrower.
But do you think everyone that has a flamethrower will be responsible? Because that worries me a bit.
He is a California assemblyman, Mr. Santiago, your ultimate foe, Kevin. He cites law enforcement and public safety issues. We don't allow people to walk in off the street and purchase military-grade tanks or armor-piercing ammunition.
That would be great.
But that's not the point. This isn't that. I cannot begin to imagine the problems a flamethrower would cause firefighters and police officers alike. Well, you're about to find out, sir, because we're going to have an official Kevin Amin flamethrower on this show as soon as Kevin, if we don't have this day one when they start shipping, then I don't even know you anymore. $500 for a flamethrower.
I hear you.
Get on it.
I'm in.
All right.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Amin show, shall we?
Never heard of that.
Psycho Mike has a motorcycle, and he's got a daughter.
Okay.
He's not positive he should keep the motorcycle, so we're going to take some calls on that.
Because she wants to ride it all the time?
She takes it without him knowing, yeah.
Oh, there you go.
I think it's that he has something to live for other than himself.
Or that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Also on the program today, we have Derek Waters, one of our favorites from Drunk History. We have the Bachelor Report. We have yesterday, Beam was talking about, Allie did the story about, what's her name? Ronda Rousey going to the WWE. And Bean just went off on the WWE.
Well, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in Ronda Rousey.
She doesn't want to be an athlete anymore? Like, somehow being in the WWE and doing all those stunts makes her not an athlete.
Right. What did I say yesterday? It makes her a stunt woman, not an athlete.
Oh, jeez.
Well, IGN's Matt Fowler took exception to that and came hard at Bean.
Yeah.
And so we said, let's do it on the air. So we're going to talk to him today.
Look, I like Matt.
And he's going to tell Bean that he's a lying liar who lies and he's a bad person who's bad.
I like Matt, but he just missed this one. He's just wrong on this one. That's all.
We'll see. Step. Also, while we were in New York, we recorded Beer Mug, Are You Gonna Finish That? And this is based on real life because everybody else that gets food, he's looking around. He makes sure if you don't finish your hash browns, he's there and he wants them. So he went around New York in a restaurant.
No.
Yes.
Oh,
asking
no.
people if they're going to finish that.
Uh-oh.
And I'll tell you what's surprising, and I'm not positive this is true about this particular thing.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say, no, go ahead. A lot of people say, yeah, here, take it.
Oh, wow.
Do they think he's homeless?
Probably.
I mean, look at him.
Don't you?
Yeah, I do, as a matter of fact. He spends too many nights on the couch in our office.
So that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53. I had a meal with Muggs yesterday. I don't often get the opportunity to do that, but we were in New York. And when the appetizers come out, mm-hmm. it's unbelievable how fast he is.
Yeah, it's like there's nothing else ever for the rest of his life.
It was like watching, I don't know, what's a bigger version of a vacuum cleaner? Just some sort of giant suction machine that just pulls everything into it. Because they came out, Allie, remember the restaurant we were at? They mm-hmm. came out with those little like veggie chips or something, and then the olives, and then the bread. And they hadn't even hit the table yet when Muggs was all over them.
He's a good eater.
He is a healthy eater.
He really is.
Got a healthy appetite, I'll tell you that. But yeah, it's something to watch that boy work.
Right?
I'll tell you that. The table where he's doing his good stuff. All right, 5:54 on a Tuesday morning, time for our first look at what is happening, Allie.
Well, Bean, I know you know this story, but let me ask Kevin, because to me, this is the perfect casting. If you could pick any actor today, Kevin, to play the iconic Fred Rogers in a movie, who
Fred
would it be?
Fred Rogers. Who would it be?
Yeah.
Dave Navarro.
Interesting choice. Mm-hmm. No.
No? Okay.
I was thinking more along the lines of the perfect casting.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You might have missed that.
Jim Jeffries.
Okay. Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Yes. He is going to be the lovely Fred Rogers in a movie called You Are My Friend. And I didn't know this. It's a story about a cynical journalist. He's asked to do a profile on Fred Rogers, and he's just bummed about it. Like, ugh, I don't want to do this. Fred Rogers, children star. And it transforms his life. Just meeting him changes this guy for the better.
Huh.
And that's what the story's about.
I get all soapy, you know, soap suds all over me.
I can see Hanks.
And then my grandfather would take this hose and go like this with me. He'd squirt all over me until the soap, you know, he'd rinse the suds off.
No.
So you were playing?
Yeah, my grandfather and I did a lot of playing together.
I don't know how you make it so creepy, but you do.
Allie, I seem to remember that is a true story.
Yeah, it's based on the true story of this journalist who just didn't want to do this story
at all. Changed his whole life spending time with Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
How about some make-believe about hose?
Right?
Here's the thing that most people don't know about Mr. Rogers, I think. You know, besides all the confirmed kills in Nam and the tattoos and all that.
Right.
Which I can't wait to see how Tom Hanks pulls that off. I mean, that is really against his type.
But
what people don't know is, and Kevin, this is going to be hard for you to wrap your head around.
Mm-hmm.
The Mr. Rogers you saw on TV was the real Mr. Rogers, in that he wasn't putting on an act for the kids. He wasn't playing a character that tried to be that gentle, soft soul for the children
that
watching.
That is shocking.
That's how he was in real life with adults, too, which led some people to think that there was something wrong with him.
Right.
Because that's how he talked to people in real life.
He had no adult friends. No way.
I told you my father's feelings about him, right?
Mm-mm.
My dad found him so creepy, he wouldn't let us watch it.
Would not
let us
just
watch.
Just something rubbed him the wrong way.
Just something about him. He was like, something's going to come out about this dude. I don't want my kids' lives ruined. However, Benny Hill, totally acceptable in the McKay household.
Sure.
Totally acceptable.
Sure.
Isn't that interesting?
Because you trust that Benny Hill is being Benny Hill.
Absolutely.
Mr. Rogers is like a clown. Yeah. Like, there's something underneath that we don't know about.
For sure. What's going to come out about Benny Hill that's worse than what he's doing on TV?
Right. It did seem like he was so pure and positive and full of light that he couldn't be a real person. No human could be like that. Like there had to be a time where he kicked the cat or screamed at the mailman or did something, you know?
He is a dick.
Not a dick at all. But that is A-plus casting, man. I am
absolutely
so excited about that.
Yeah, set to begin production in September. So we talked
and let's not forget, Allie, that Sundance just played and was bought the Mr. Rogers documentary as well.
Jeez, a lot of Mr. Rogers.
Two Mr. Rogers movies coming out.
Too much.
Something
is that what we're saying? we talked about the Celebrity Big Brother that's kicking off, I think, in about a week. Mm-hmm. All the different people, Meta World Peace, Chuck Liddell, Mark McGrath, to name a few.
Bean, that's going to be your show to catch up on and keep us updated.
Well, let's see if it's worth it.
Well, I just found out that they signed a base deal of about $200,000 just to be in the house. Wow. And they can be booted off at any point. So let's say you're only in the house for like a day. You've just made 200 grand, right? That's incredible. But the longer you stay, the more money you get paid, obviously. And sources say that the winner takes home about $500,000.
Wow.
For about, what, 2 weeks worth of work?
That is worth your time.
That is definitely worth your time.
We need to be a celebrity.
Right?
And then they might invite
us. And good at challenges.
Right?
Ooh.
I know I brought up Mark McGrath yesterday, and I still do want to talk to him on the show.
Yeah.
He's going to win this thing because everyone loves Mark McGrath. He's the nicest guy in the world.
He is, but I think it's more about manipulation, isn't it?
Oh, so he may not have that skill set.
I don't think he has that. I think Chuck Liddell does, though, right? He could play both sides.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. We should take some bets. Have a pool.
I like it.
Going. I don't know. Do people bet?
Normally, I don't like to bet, but I will in this case.
Totally legal.
Right.
Some birthdays for you: Andy Milonakis, Christian Bale, Wilmer Valderrama, Phil Collins, Dick Cheney, and Gene. Dick. Thank you. And Gene Hackman. That's what's happening.
So Bean was talking a few minutes about how Muggs is somehow like a shop back for food.
Stay out of my way.
If there's food in the area, you don't stay out of your way. You have to literally avoid you like the plague.
And it's funny because, of course, I've heard these stories. Kevin, you brought up many times in the past that it's like the warnings they used to give you about not getting your hands and feet near the lawnmower blades.
Yep.
Like, don't be anywhere near Muggs when food comes out because you might lose a body part when he goes for it. But spending this time with him in New York City and seeing it in person was just astonishing. Like, the pizza party is a perfect example.
Yeah.
We did a pizza party with Kevin and B. Listers, podcast listeners, in New York on Saturday afternoon. And Muggs was, I don't know, 40 minutes late.
Sure.
Yeah. And he walked in and he took a beeline to the pizza and just started shoveling it. Like, there were four different kinds of pizza that we got from Joe's here. And he had one of each, one right after another, like 15 seconds of slice.
It was a full-size pizza, and he was treating it like it was a bite size. He just put one in.
He did deep throat. I mentioned that. I'm like, what's with the pizza Muggs?
And it was funny because all those awesome listeners that came out to, like, meet us, beelined right by him, had no time for him, right to the pizza.
Yeah, that is funny.
They sure cheered for you, though, when you walked in, which was sweet.
They did. It was astonishing, though, and the weird thing is that most people, human beings, they eat that first piece, and then they eat that second piece a little bit slower, and then by the third piece, they're picking at it. You know what I mean? Like, they're at the point now where they're sated.
Yeah, maybe you're talking a little bit, and you're not eating quite so much.
Yeah, you're pacing yourself a little bit. The enthusiasm for slice 8, though, is every bit as much as the enthusiasm for slice 1. Like, I don't even know how he's able to do it. And then I said, Muggs, what are you doing after this? He said, oh, we're going out to film. Are you going to finish that?
Right.
On it completely. It had to be a full stomach.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I probably had some room for more, but
Muggs does that all the time. Like, if he'll get food over, I'll be sitting down in the corner, and he'll be somehow watching every second. He'll go, you haven't eaten your hash browns. You got to finish that? So we decided it would be funny to send him up to total strangers in New York City. Total strangers. Were you in a restaurant?
I was everywhere, Kevin. Yeah. We started in Times Square, and there's restaurants all around. So I was going in and out of places. I was walking up to people sitting on the outside part of Times Square. It didn't matter. Nobody was off limits.
And in New York, they don't seem to care that much because people come up to them and talk all the time. So not a big deal. But Muggs walks up to people who are eating, and he asks them, are you going to finish that? And this video is up at the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. So this is the first one of Muggs in New York City asking total strangers if they're going to finish their food.
What's up, party people? Beer Mug here in New York City in Times Square for Grammy weekend. And it's time to ask the question, are you going to finish that? Hey, what's up, you guys? Are you going to finish your Starbucks? You going to finish it? I'll finish it if you guys don't. All right, cool. Thanks. Hey, how you guys doing?
How about that?
Even
Starbucks.
A drink?
And I would... I was posted up right outside the door, so they would get their drink and walk outside. Haven't even taken a sip out of it yet, and I would ask them, hey, are you
going to
finish
Who
that?
Who going to Starbucks is not going to finish it? Those people are desperate.
Right?
They need their Starbucks.
It was worth a shot.
Sure. Of course.
Hey, how you guys doing? Are you going to finish your baked goods? All right. If you don't finish them, you know where to find me.
All right. Now, let me ask you a question. Do they know where to find you?
Yeah, because I was going to follow them. I was literally going to stalk them. And so they would, if they turned around at any moment when they thought they were done, I would be there to finish their item.
You know where to find me.
Yeah, they would.
Threatening. Well,
I'm very standing
threatening.
Right behind them.
Wow, this is a little scary. All right, here we go.
Sir, you going to finish your peanuts? Are you going to finish your peanuts?
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, can I have a couple peanuts if you're not going to finish them?
Sure.
Thank you, sir. Very kind.
You're welcome.
Thank you, man.
That.
Look at that. Aww.
This happens all the time.
Yeah, it blows my mind. People are so willing to give me some of their food.
When we first came up with this idea, I thought Muggs is going to walk up to people. They're going to get angry at him and ask him to leave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Probably half the people that he talks to is like, yeah, sure, go ahead.
Especially in New York City where like people have no time for anything.
That's what surprises me, because in New York City you are so often hit up for something, particularly by a homeless guy on the street. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That you would think that people would just, blinders on, just keep on walking. But they turn out to be very nice.
And the dude was just eating peanuts.
The guy have his peanuts. I mean, honestly, it's not like he's got a four-course meal.
And he was so delighted. Did you hear the happiness in his voice?
I think he was happy just to get you to go away. Give him a couple peanuts and he'll keep moving. All right, here we go.
Hey, what's up? Excuse me. Are you going to finish your McDouble? What about the Happy Meal? Are you going to finish that?
All right, like, first of all, the McDouble?
Yeah. You
finish that? Not getting a good response. How about the Happy Meal?
At this point, I walked into the McDonald's restaurant.
Yeah, and people, I feel like we assume that.
Well, no, I mean, I just wanted for the listening audience to make sure they know where I was. Not just people walking on the street now. I'm in the restaurant
right.
as people are sitting down, walking, just totally invading their space.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you're not going to finish?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks anyway. Excuse me. Are you going to finish your Oreo McFlurry? You are? All right. If you don't, you know where to find me, all right?
Oh, again,
you know where to find me.
I was going to follow this young lady until I got her Oreo McFlurry.
You know where to find me? Right behind you. Like a stalker.
Are you going to finish your cheeseburger? You are? All right, if you don't, I'm starving, so I'll grub it up for you.
Here's what I like about Muggs is that he doesn't take no for an answer.
Mm-mm.
So if somebody says, he says, are you going to finish that? And somebody says, yes, not good enough for him. He's like, well, change your mind. You know where to find me. I'll be right behind you.
I'll take care of that, no problem. I've been known to put down cheeseburgers in my day.
I believe you. I'm very hungry.
All right.
Yes, I believe you. I'm very hungry.
Beat it.
I'm very hungry. Please move on.
I just think if you're not going to finish it, I'm your man.
Okay.
Good man. Thanks.
Did you, like, dap him right there? What was that?
Yeah, I gave him a little daps.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
So that's happening. The video's up at the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. Are you going to finish that with Muggs?
It is a Tuesday morning here on the show, and that means the Bachelor Report with our friend Petros Papadakis coming up just after 7 a.m. I hear it was a bowling party last night, Kevin.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Is your man Ari, is he as good at bowling as he is at race car driving?
He tried to do the exact same move as, I'm sorry, I forgot the actor's name in The Big Lebowski.
John Bridges? Goodman?
Who licks the ball.
Oh, John Turturro.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And he tried to do that, and it was very poorly done. Yeah.
I don't ever want to see The Bachelor's tug. I'm sorry. Also, Derek Waters, our friend from Drunk History, Season 5 is on the air. Derek will be joining us as well. That's all coming up in K-Rock. First, though, a little bit of controversy. I'm worried because our friend Matt Fowler, who we are a big fan of, was a flame-throwing me yesterday, Allie,
well,
wasn't he, a little bit?
Yeah, I did the story about Ronda Rousey joining the WWE, which is huge news because we knew she wasn't going to be fighting much more in the UFC. She's a huge WWE fan. It seems like a natural fit. And then Bean starts going off on how, well, great, she doesn't want to be an athlete anymore. Right, Bean?
Mm-hmm. Correct, yes.
That was said.
Go on.
That was said, to which I then get a DM on Twitter. Bean is a wrong person who's very wrong. And I said, Matt, I think we need to talk to you tomorrow. And he's like, yeah, Bean's perception of wrestling is woefully outdated and wrong with wrongness. I'm like, Matt, calm down. Let's get it out on the air.
He does tweet a lot about the WWE. Yeah. That is a writer for IGN TV, and he's a good dude, but he's allowed to be wrong on this as well. Matt, welcome back to the Kevin DeBeat Show, my friend. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me. Umbrage. I just take some umbrage. That's all I do.
Umbrage. All right. Okay. All right. That's a fancy word for being wrong. Hey, look, I get that the WWE – oh, hey, Mike Catherwood. How are you, sir?
I'm great.
I get that the WWE is entertaining and has lots of fans, and I have no problem with it existing or you enjoying it, but let's not confuse it with sports. That's the only thing I'm saying is Ronda Rousey has decided to not be in athletic competition anymore, and she is now a performer, and it just makes me sad because she was one of the greatest fighters of all time. And it just makes me sad that she's turned her back on that to do something that, in my opinion, is much less interesting.
But she's not a performer like she's juggling.
Well, right. She's a performer like she's playing a character, and she's an actress. That's what she's being an actress full time now. And I feel like the sport of UFC is worse for it. That's all. And look, it's her choice, and she can do it. And I wish her well, and I still like her. But she's not an athlete anymore. She's not in competition anymore, Matt. That's all I'm saying. Do you disagree with that?
Well, no, she is not in competition, but doing some algebra here, are you saying then that the competitor, I mean, the performers in WWE are not athletes?
Not actively while they're in the WWE are they athletes. They're doing something incredibly athletic and is wildly impressive, and they're using their bodies, but mm-hmm. So do people in Cirque du Soleil. So do people in the ballet. They're performers that are doing something incredibly athletic.
But not athletes.
They're not athletes. Athletes compete.
Okay. Flip side of that, Harlem Globetrotters.
Yes.
Are they athletes?
No.
Okay, you're nuts. Right. They're not.
There has to be active competition for there to be for them to be an athlete.
Right.
Because these are supreme athletes. And unlike, as Bean would say, like they're stunt people, there is contact. I mean, there is... You can watch Brock Lesnar, like, hammer the side of Braun Strowman's face this past Sunday and see that there is contact, and it is not just a stunt show. It is not a Cirque du Soleil performance show. There is a story, there is a narrative, and the outcomes are predetermined, but you're not determining them. I mean, it's you're still watching something, and this is a move for her, if it is her design at the end of all of this, to get into Hollywood and to break into movies. This is something that is not only athletic, that can help train her to be collaborative in storytelling, in sort of a storytelling function, as she's going to be trained on how to talk to the media, how to deal with kids. This is a way for her to also go into Hollywood, and it is a global phenomenon. It is something that translates all over the world, unlike some sports which, you know, are just region to region.
Nobody has ever come out of the WWE and become a movie star.
I know. That's true. Not at all.
I know that for a fact. Or there have been a dozen of them.
Right.
Look, and she has great charisma and personality, and obviously she's already in Hollywood. She's in The Expendables. I mean, I think she's going to be fine as an actress, and I'm happy for her. Again, don't misunderstand. I love Ronda, and I want her to be happy, and I want her to follow in the steps and be as big as The Rock one day. I'm just saying I'm disappointed that she was so elite before and she was doing something that was so hard and so impressive, and now she's not. That's the only thing I'm saying.
I think enough time's passed here where I think people, you know, we don't really want to remember her last two losses. She's still a huge household name. And in WWE, there is an element where she can be protected in some regard because she can ascend, she can climb the ladder, and she doesn't have to plummet.
Let me throw this at you, Matt, because I saw the news after the what was she at the Rumble?
Royal Rumble.
Yes,
when she made the announcement official, and then I saw some of the other Nia Jax and Nikki Bella and all of those were coming out talking about how they weren't thrilled about her being in the WWE and who is she to come in here and pretend like that she's new or this is a big thing. We've all been out here working so hard. And if this were the UFC, I would go, hey, there's a legitimate beef here that is one day going to be settled in the octagon and we're going to find out who's better. But it's not. It's just nonsense now. It's just fake trash talking now. because they don't really care. They're not really pro or against Ronda Rousey. They're just starting to develop the storylines that are going to later play out, you know, in the ring that I just don't care about. Like, there's no meaning behind it.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but there is. I mean, I would be very surprised also if a lot of them, if it wasn't a sort of a half-truth. You know what I mean? Because there is an element of wrestling where you do have to pay your dues, and someone coming in from the outside and maybe skyrocketing to the top is going to rub along a lot of people the wrong way in the locker room. That's just the way it is. But there's also an understanding that she brings mainstream media attention, and so mm-hmm. she's going to get a certain kind of treatment. So I think it's half and half there. Yes, we're not going to see somebody throw down for real. That's an element. And I guess that's sort of the you know, the bump that you just don't like is that the fact that it is just a form of storytelling. I think what happens is that wrestling is presented in a sports model. I mean, it's been a good two decades since everybody, the curtain has dropped, and we all know it's not real.
Right.
We all know the outcomes are predetermined. You know, a long time ago, it was presented as real, and people were very protective of it. But I think it's because it's presented as a sport. There's a ring, there's a ref, there's a timekeeper. I think that rubs someone like you being the wrong way, because no, it is not a sport. It is sports entertainment, and it doesn't pretend to be a sport until you sit there and there's sort of there's a suspension of disbelief that the audience goes through where we just, like you would with a movie or a TV show, you buy into it, and that's what you
I think that is very well said, yeah. Matt, and I agree with every word that came out of your mouth. I don't think we're that far apart on that.
What about the fact that Bean said she's no longer going to be an athlete, though, or something that's, about not being an athlete?
I take exception to that, because these are superior athletes, and if being an athlete does involve, in your definition, competing at something like in the UFC or at the Olympics like Rousey did, mm-hmm. Then that's your take on it. You know, you could look it up in the dictionary and see that it's not just competition. It's just any sort of physical activity. But, yeah, I mean, I consider them athletes through and through.
I hate physical activity, though. You guys know me, right? I'm as far from physical activity as could be.
I see Bean going into the WWE. That would be the best case scenario.
I don't think there's any debate, though, that whether you define them as athletes or not, there's no debate that what you do in the WWE is incredibly physically demanding and incredibly physically impressive.
Right.
There's no debate there. I just think that I think the big problem is that when you're talking about someone who is a former fighter, there's something particularly weird about going into the WWE. Not like Brock Lesnar, who was in the WWE first, then transferred over and come
right.
back. Ronda Rousey, at any point, at any time, could rip all limbs off of all the divas at the same time.
Right.
And so that's when you're pretending as if there's some type of competition between these girls and Ronda Rousey. It seems somehow insulting.
Let me bring up something else about Ronda Rousey. Is it possible that she, with that kick to the head from Holly Holm and stuff, is it possible she's had some damage and, and can't fight in the UFC anymore?
On top of however much damage she's taken collectively from years of being an Olympic-level judoka and then however many other fights, you know, and training and preparing for her fights. Yeah.
Listen, she wasn't going back to the UFC. We can pretend all day long.
No matter what.
I really wish she was still fighting. She was never going to do it. This is something she's loved since she was a little girl. This is her dream, and she's now going to do it, and she's going to be John Cena level at some point
she'll
in the WWE.
Yeah. Why do you hate
so
dreams
why
and
begrudge
love?
Anyone that? I think it's wonderful.
Dreams? Why do you hate love?
Like I said, I love Ronda too. I'm happy for her. I hope she has nothing but success in and out of the ring. I just don't want us to be confused about what's really going on.
Matt, we cool?
We cool, Matt?
We cool.
I do hope she armbars Roman Reigns, though. Right to the ground.
Of course. We can all agree on that.
Okay, good.
All right, Matt. Thanks for jumping on, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
As a public service, I would like to remind you that KROQ.com is an outstanding resource to keep up with all the great concerts that are coming to town. Listen to this. On sale right now, still tickets available at the Hollywood Bowl for LCD Sound System with the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, which, by the way, is going to be a great show. Tickets still available for Queens of the Stone Age and Royal Blood at the Forum February 17th. How is that not already sold out?
That sounds awesome.
And don't forget, Travis Barker presents the 11th Annual Muse Inc. That is happening St. Patrick's Day weekend at the OC Fair and Event Center. That's going to be an amazing weekend, not just tattoos, but Blink-182, Descendants, Good Charlotte, The Interrupters, Little Yachty, and more. You can get details on all these shows and so much more anytime at krock.com. It's 6:53, Tuesday morning. Allie, what's happening?
I don't know why this is occurring on my computer, but a bunch of people have sent me a picture of Adele dressed as Dolly Parton,
okay,
holding a guitar, and then it says, this is from Adele, the effortless queen of song, Dolly Parton, we love you. We wish we could possess an ounce of your ability. You were the hero of our night, a hero of my life. I'll always love you. Where is this from? What's happening? Why is she dressed as Dolly Parton? Did they hang out? I need more information. Can someone get me more information?
I mean, I don't need more information.
I need more information as well. Okay.
You do?
I do. I need to know what the connection is between Adele and Dolly Parton.
Do you guys have the internet?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
But that's all that she posted. There's no story like they teamed up for something or she went to a Dolly Parton show dressed as her. Mm-hmm. Maybe she's hanging out at Dollywood just walking around. We don't know.
Right. Oh, I can't wait to find that out.
I can't either. But why would so many people send me that and then not dig deeper for me?
Right?
Why are you making me work?
Shouldn't they be doing all your research?
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. We talked about it yesterday. Wow, the Grammys didn't fare well on people's televisions. The smallest audience in nearly 10 years. And the lowest audience in that coveted 18 to 49-year-old age group. Womp womp.
Mm.
That's not good, right?
I mean, honestly, they pretty much pigeonholed that show into one or two musical genres. There was no rock. It wasn't very inclusive of everything.
Yeah, that's very true. Absolutely. The highest rated Grammys, I found this interesting, were in 2012, hosted by LL Cool J.
Right, because he's the best.
Took place. There it is, Licky. Took place the day after Whitney Houston's death. That one drew 39.9 million viewers.
Wow.
Holy crap.
I remember that because everyone wanted to tune in to see how they were going to handle it because they had to. Remember, they had to kind of scramble at the last second. And didn't they have Jennifer Hudson came out and sang I Will Always Love You? Isn't that what they put together?
I don't remember.
Something like that, yeah. Look, I would like to think that the reason the Grammys didn't do well is because they refused to acknowledge that rock and roll exists anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But all indications are that that's not what people listen to or buy anymore. It's a pop and hip-hop world, and that's what they put on the show last night. So I don't know. Why do you guys think more people aren't watching? Is it a bias just against networks? Like people just don't watch CBS anymore? Maybe it's cord cutters. People don't have CBS anymore?
I don't think it's that dramatic over a year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like it wasn't really for everyone.
I feel like people are just, have been for a long time, but more so lately, just over shows like that.
Yeah.
Award shows
in general. Yeah.
Yeah. They don't
I know I
see...
have award fatigue, too.
Yeah.
Especially when you tune in for a 3.5-hour show and you only see 9 awards.
Yes, exactly. The only thing with the Grammys that I'll say is at least watchable is there's so many performances.
Right.
They jam them all in.
No, I thought Lorde was the best.
She did not. She did not
she
perform.
She nailed it.
Nope, she was not allowed to do a song off of her album, which was up for Album of the Year. Is it maybe that people just, they don't want to hear from celebrities anymore? Like, I don't want to hear from you preaching to me.
It's probably a mixture of all of the above.
Yeah. Plus, it started at 7:30 on the East Coast.
And ended at 7:30 a.m.
It's still going on, Kevin.
It's a long show.
Very, very long show. Hey, Netflix has renewed Fuller House for a fourth season. And I tell you this because I found this very interesting. It is the second most binge-raced series on Netflix. Do you know what binge-raced means?
No, I never heard of it.
Sure.
What?
Those are people who sit down and power through an entire season as fast as possible. They watch one right after another.
Isn't that what binge is?
Binging are you watch one every day when you get home from work.
Yeah, the binge racers, you're watching the whole series.
In the first 24 hours that House of Cards comes out, you've already seen the whole season. That's the binge racers.
So Fuller House is the second most binged raced series on Netflix. Bean, do you know what the number one most binge race series is?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm just trying to think what I mentioned. What else did they?
Stranger Things.
Oh, there you go.
That is
Stranger
good.
Things. That's
incorrect.
A great guess.
Incorrect. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Is it Netflix, Netflix, Netflix? Is it Stranger Things?
It is not. That is a great guess as well. I will tell you this. Yes.
Stranger Things.
No, Chip. Okay. Not Stranger Things. I will tell you this. I binge raced it.
You did.
Sure did. Oh. Couldn't wait for it. As a matter of fact, I got ready for it by watching every single series before this one came back. Nothing?
No.
Lorelai? Rory?
Oh, sure. Gilmore Girls, of course.
Gilmore Girls, a year in the life.
See? And they're making new ones, right? As I understand, they're...
All I know is there are a ton of lonely women out there. If that is the single most binge race show in a 24-hour period. And I salute you, ladies. I also salute Dakota Johnson, because apparently it's pretty serious with her and Coldplay frontman Chris Martin.
Is that right?
Yeah. Apparently, Chris has met her dad, Don Johnson. Wouldn't you think, regardless of who you are, meeting Don Johnson would be terrifying?
Terrifying. I mean, I guess.
I mean, because he's like a cop and he wears pastels. And
I mean, that's really...
He's got that boat.
I think that show was in the 80s, was it? 90s, 80s?
Miami Vice?
Yeah. I don't know.
But apparently he said Chris is a lovely guy and you want your kids happy no matter what shape it takes. And I read between the lines and I was like, Chris, you're 40. She's 28. What's going on? But then again, I don't think Don Johnson is really going to tell people not to date younger.
Yeah, true.
Right.
Know what I'm saying?
Maybe he's the wrong guy to do that.
But I think I'll allow that relationship.
Okay.
I think I like
Allie
it.
Allie says it's okay. Great.
How about you, Bean? You in?
Look, I just want the kids to be happy.
I see. You're a lot like Don Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Some birthdays for you. Actors Andy Milonakis, Wilmer Valderrama, Christian Bale.
Oh, good for you. And how was it?
How was it, Christian? Singer Phil Collins, Dick Cheney. And Jay. And Jalen Rose. See, Jalen Rose is the last one.
Mm.
Not Dick Cheney.
I see.
That's what's happening.
Let me tell you about a miracle worker named Derek Waters. He comes up with this idea for a web series called Drunk History. And then that runs for 6 years. And then Comedy Central says, hey, let's put it on TV. And now here we are 5 years later, and that's still on and is a sensation, airing Tuesday nights at 10 on Comedy Central. Please welcome Derek Waters back to the show. How
thank
are you, sir?
Thank you. Thank you. It's good. As a miracle worker, it feels very good. Yes, thank you. Thank you.
In a billion years, and I know this is a dumb question because nobody ever knows the future, but in a billion years, when you guys came up with Drunk History and started making those little series for the webs, you don't think, hey, this is going to be half my adult life is going to be making this show, right?
No, you do not think that at all. You think, this is fun. Maybe some. I'll get some more friends on MySpace. That's about it.
You know. MySpace,
yeah.
Reference.
Maybe I'll get some posts on Friendster or something, but never a television show or Emmy nominations.
And the stars you get, and I know a lot of them are very close personal friends of yours. But
I'm a miracle worker. I also am a miracle worker on how to network.
Yeah.
I was raised on milk and networking, is what my mom said.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, I want to hear more about your mom and milk.
I'm done with that.
But Mother's milk, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Right, though. The show is so popular now that I feel like there are very few people you could come up with that you want to get on the show that you can't get on the show, because people who have done it, so many people have done it now and know what a fun experience it is to do, and it comes out so well that I imagine you pretty much just... You can just smile and dial and get who you want, right, Derek?
You would, yeah, sure. One would like to think that.
Yes,
but
it's Derek. Absolutely.
Everybody. Oh, what? you've been on TV before? Of course. Please, come on the show. No, I mean, the people that we get is not something that's like, oh, that's cool that, like, everybody wants to do it. No, these people are getting paid scale and they work all day. So I'm very thankful for the people that we get. And there are people that have said no, not to brag.
Oh, really? People have said no.
Yeah,
not
bragging.
Oh, who said no? Oprah? No, I don't know. You can't get anyone. I mean, come on. I'm a humble man. But the people
I want to see the Daniel Day-Lewis drunk history
me
episode.
Too.
That's what
me
I'm looking
too.
Forward to.
There once was a day someone told me he wanted to do it. And
are you serious?
I'm still going to try to do that because I'm like, wouldn't it be great to have one of the best actors in the world? I'm just trying to find the dumbest human being in history for him to play. Just for, yes. to see him play an idiot would be great.
Are we talking about telling the history and being drunk or the recreation?
The recreation, yeah. To have him play just an idiot and to have him be in character as an idiot all day would be a dream come
true.
You'd
be able to pull that off.
Well, we'll find out. I'm a miracle worker.
Was Lin-Manuel Miranda your most successful episode?
Success as in like when I go ratings. Home, my mom's friends at church are more excited.
No, which
to
is the most popular
one.
Episode in the history of Jersey. Is that how you judge success?
Yeah, 100%. Don't you?
No,
what your family says. Okay, I would say Hamilton. Yes, it was nominated for an Emmy, and it had the most stars. And I think we took the biggest risk of having females play Alexander Hamilton and Aaron Burr.
That's so good.
And yeah, but what's success really? Can you go to sleep at night? That's what I like to think about.
Now, Derek,
let
you
me
have,
go to sleep at night.
Yeah. You say between every season, and I respect this about you, although it's nice to have the work, I respect that artistically you say, I'm never going to come back and do another season unless I think I can make it the best season ever, unless I can make it do something different than I've done the year before. You don't want to keep you just don't want to keep repeating yourself. So with season 5 that just began last week, what's new that you're excited about that you weren't able to do or try before in previous years?
Well, I say I'm never coming back just to get more money. Let's be honest.
Okay.
Fair enough. A negotiating ploy. I like it.
No, really, because I'm a comedy snob, and I don't want the show to get old. And for this season, it's better stories. I know how easy of an answer that sounds. And bigger names and more themes. One thing I'm really excited about is after 5 seasons, I feel like now you can break rules. So as a kid, I was really and still obsessed with Unsolved Mysteries, the TV show.
Right.
And so we do an episode called Drunk Mystery this season where I play a Robert Stack. And I'm lip syncing to Robert Stack.
You'll forgive us as people who have been on Unsolved Mysteries for real, Derek, if we're not as excited about that as you are.
What happened?
It was a long time ago.
Has that been solved?
Oh, I believe it has. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a long story. I don't want to take up your time here.
I don't want to take up your time either, but
I
will.
Robert Stack.
Oh, go ahead.
Let me just play this for you, Derek, and this tells you everything you need to know about our appearance on that show.
Gene Baxter and Kevin Ryder were lying.
Okay, are we done?
That wasn't
everyone,
Robert
Stack. Everyone happy?
I'm happy.
The lawyers were involved. We'll tell you after.
Okay.
We'll
okay.
Right?
Okay.
But that's a great idea for your show, though. I love that.
Thank you. That should be fun.
Tell me about the Star Trek episode this season.
Oh, the Star Trek episode. Well, it's an episode that'll air next Tuesday called Game Changers. And in one of the stories, it's about Nichelle Nichols from Star Trek. And it's pretty cool. She's
Lieutenant Her, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And she was going to leave Star Trek because she wanted to do Broadway until she went to an NAACP meeting. And someone wanted to meet her who's a fan of the show. And she's like, okay, I'll meet this nerd. And this nerd said, I just want to tell you, I love your show. My wife and our kids, we love it. And she said, I'm sorry, are you Martin Luther King? And Martin Luther King convinced her to stay on Star Trek because he said, you're the only black woman on TV who's not playing a servant. Are you
improvising now, or is this a true story?
This is a true story.
Wow.
This is a true story. So he convinced her to stay on Star Trek, and then between her and William Shatner was the first interracial kiss. Do you know that story?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
But what was cool about that is that when they did it, the network said, well, do one where you do the kiss and do one where you don't do the kiss. And on the take that they didn't do the kiss, William Shatner purposely looked at the camera and crossed his eyes.
No way.
So when they saw
it, make sure they couldn't
use it. He's like, well, you either... you know,
love
lose
it.
The scene, or you know, you have an interracial kiss.
That's
and
amazing.
was that coming from Gene Roddenberry? That mm-hmm. moment
that's,
was so important. He wanted to make sure it got on TV.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm still thinking about Martin Luther King.
That's a crazy story.
Yeah, and Raven Simone plays Nichelle Nichols and Jaleel White plays Martin Luther King.
Well, obviously.
I'm a miracle worker.
I know that that at the end of the day you're trying to make an entertaining, funny show, but do you feel a little bit like you're our generation's Ken Burns? Like you're out there really dealing history to people who maybe aren't familiar with some of these chapters in our life?
I could never say that, but what I will say is it's secretly a history show. I hope the comedy makes you watch it and the stories make you come back to
watch
it.
All right, that brings me to my next question, which is how many people volunteer that you would love to have on the show and are willing to drink but have a terrible story that they want to tell? You have to go, no, that's dull. We need to get a different story.
A good amount, but the good part is we have researchers, so I can say, oh, we're not going to be able to do your story this season. Here's a story. So I send them 2 to 3 stories
and
that
most of
we
the time,
found.
Are they up to it?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I make sure that they're stories that there are a world that they already like to talk about.
Right. I had no idea when Katie Nolan did the Teddy Roosevelt Saves Football that because Teddy Roosevelt stepped in and made these rule changes, we now have football today. It could have just gone away.
It could have gone away. Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
You're a miracle worker.
You're a miracle worker.
Well, that was Teddy. That wasn't me.
We're talking to our friend Derek Waters here on the Kevin and Bean Show, co-creator, executive producer, and host of Drunk History, which airs Tuesday nights at 10 on Comedy Central. That means new episode tonight. We spoke earlier this morning on the show, Derek, before you got here, about the great news that Tom Hanks is going to be playing Mr. Rogers in a movie. You have Colin Hanks playing Mr. Rogers on your show this season by coincidence?
There are no coincidences. I mean, come on. I don't need to ask my mom's church friends about that. But
I mean, how weird is that?
I don't think anything's weird. I think that was cool. I'm definitely not like, oh, that makes sense. But when you think of Mr. Rogers, Colin has done the show so many times, just like, who's the best person to play Mr. Rogers? And our story is about Mr. Rogers saving PBS. And so, yeah.
This is when he went and testified in front of Congress and everything.
$20 million. Yeah.
Do you deal with the fact that he's tatted up and then he's got all those kills? You deal with that?
What?
Mr. Rogers.
He didn't have any neck tats.
Come on.
What do you mean tatted up?
He was sleeved, Derek. Come on, everybody knows.
You've heard that story, right?
No.
What?
That's not going to be in the show.
Come on now.
No, but
he was an assassin.
I didn't know this.
Look it up.
Next season.
It's not real, but look it up.
I will look it up. I love looking things up. no, but it was cool. That what are the odds of that? It made me go, oh, I guess we think, well, like, if we think the Hanks family are the most likable, like Mr. Rogers' neighborhood.
Sure.
Yes.
But you would have kicked your good friend Colin to the curb had his dad been willing to come on your show, right?
No.
Really?
I know Colin. I don't know Tom.
You're not a miracle worker.
No.
I'm sorry.
You make bad choices, Derek.
No, Colin's the best.
What I would have done if that really happened was Colin playing Mr. Rogers, and I would have Tom Hanks play Mr. Furry. What was his name?
Mr. McFeely.
McFeely. Yeah. Yeah.
McFurry, though. I'd watch that.
No, come on. It's 7.
That's a spinoff show that needs to happen.
LOL.
All right. Derek, you continue to do outstanding work. And by the way, a quick plug for your companion show, Another Period, is back for another season, too, which is also a very, very funny show as well. Drunk History airs Tuesday nights at 10 on Comedy Central. This is the 5th season of the show. It is great, you guys, and you should definitely check it out. Derek, congratulations, man. Good to see you again.
Thank you. Great to see you guys.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
K-Rockin.
It's the Kevin and Bean.
God damn it. What were you going to say? I just started something to cut you completely off.
I wanted to end on K-Rockin.
Oh, that was it?
I was going to say K-Rockin in the free world.
Okay, do it again.
K-Rockin in the free world.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Look who it is. P.
Hello.
Petros Papadakis.
Good morning to all of you.
Petros is the host of the very popular Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570
That's
LA
right.
Sports. But he's here on Tuesday mornings with us because it's time for The Bachelor Report.
Ha! It's time. We got dumb peeps, can't stand a man, so we watch. The Bachelor,
Bruno
so
Mars,
you don't have to, man.
Right?
Girls
singing
hallelujah.
Yeah. Too soon.
Girls
too soon.
Hallelujah.
Oh, you want to change the intro?
I'm saying
girls
maybe we should.
Hallelujah.
We'll get the National to
the
do
it. The Bachelor Report, we're going to give it to you. The Bachelor Report is in the spot, so you don't have to watch.
Let me start with a question, and then I'll let you boys who watch the show get into the recap. And that is, based on the bowling theme of last night's episode of The Bachelor on ABC, P, you're the ideal person to ask, is bowling a sport?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Because I had a bag, ball, and shoes on a $100 deal at PV Bowl back in the day after being inspired by the Big Lebowski as a young man.
Right.
And I'm not a good bowler, mm-hmm. but I was a football player when I bought my ball, so it's like 16 pounds. And now if
you're a stud.
Oh, yeah. I was like, I got the biggest ball.
Oh, I got a big one. Yeah.
Look how big this ball is. And now when I bowl, like one arm is really sore and like the oppo ass cheek is super sore. And that's like, hey, you know, I was out there doing it. Sure, bowling's
right.
a sport.
It's athletic. Okay.
Hey, you're doing something. You know, is curling a sport?
No. I feel like
it
is.
Get an Olympic medal for it, brother.
Absolutely.
Curling's a sport.
I feel like if it's in the Olympics, it's a sport.
Hockey fan like you go up against curling like that?
Yes.
Next time I go to Staples Center, I'd protect my neck.
You want to compare those two?
Just saying, a lot of Canadians like both. I'd keep my head on a swivel next time I go over to Staples.
Guys, we're off topic. Okay, Kevin, how was your boy Ari last night?
He sucks, but everybody else is great.
He's a 1,000% zero. He's the worst. He's got nothing to offer. He's stupid. He can't make conversation.
Salt and pepper hair is pretty good.
No.
Oh, come on.
I don't know. I just despise him.
Kevin hates him.
He knows how to make out.
But the girls are straight crazy.
It's a good year for chicks.
It really is.
And they are erasing, if not in a boat racing style, beating Ari as far as just what everybody's interested in. It's almost making Ari
irrelevant.
Ancillary. Yeah. Who cares, right? And it's great because we have Crystal, who's crazy, and we have everybody else who's anti-Crystal.
Right, and that's what the show was about last night. So they go bowling.
That's all it was about.
They go bowling, and Ari says, I'm going to split you up into two teams.
In Fort Lauderdale. Don't forget Fort Lauderdale. That's part of this.
I don't know why they were in Fort Lauderdale, but they were.
Because this guy's a cheese ball.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure how that is.
He sells real estate in suburban Phoenix.
True, yeah.
Okay, Fort Lauderdale is his speed.
So they all go bowling. And he splits them into two teams, and the team that wins gets to spend more time with him, and the team that loses doesn't.
Classic Bachelor group date structure.
Yeah. Crystal lost, very upset by that.
She's the whisperer.
I'm sorry. I'm wrong. She won, didn't she?
She won, but then she lost.
But then Ari says, you know what? This seems like it's bad, so I'm going to change my mind, and I'm going to let all of the girls have some time instead of just the winning team.
Huh.
Crystal does not like that at all.
Everybody else is like, oh, what a twist.
Yeah.
M. Night Shyamalan. and she did not. She flipped out.
She throws a tantrum. She says, this is ridiculous. He's a liar.
I can't trust him.
I'm not going to come tonight. I'm going to stay up in my room, and I'm packing my bags. I might be gone.
That seems aggressive.
Right? Which is absolutely insane. So then all the other girls now have picked. Remember the girl at the beginning of the season, BB or Bibiana?
Bibiana.
Who was about to get in a fight with Crystal.
Mm-hmm.
She got eliminated, but now all the other girls are on board and they're about to fight with Crystal themselves.
It's on.
So she throws this tantrum and then it's on.
Crystal, you said you weren't coming tonight, yet here you are, so does that make you a liar?
All right!
Oh, snap!
Now that's Becca.
That's tennis ball head Becca.
Who we love.
Man, is she great.
She's from Los Angeles, she's a nanny, and she just brings it. She's not going to put up with Crystal for another second.
I mean, I think we all trusted that since you said you weren't coming to the party, that you weren't coming to the party. And yet here you are, so please explain that. I felt hurt by that. No. You're still avoiding my question.
Wow, she's a prosecutor.
Right? 22 years old.
Is he still a liar, or is it okay that he changed his mind?
It's okay that he changed his mind.
Like, here's the thing. You said two nights ago that he was a liar and that he was dishonest and you're not interested in being with somebody like that and that you had your bags packed. I was really hurt. And every single thing that you've said has been about you. And it's all about you and about how everything's so hard for you. And you're kind of blind to see what anyone else is going through.
You came into here tonight
and just talked about you being hurt. And the thing is, you're trying to justify your actions over and over again without actually taking responsibility.
Is that how I'm reacting?
Really?
I was very hurt.
You know what? I can't do this anymore. I'm done.
Yeah, Becca leaves. USA!
Were you lying then or are you lying now?
I have never heard, in all the seasons The Bachelor has been on, P, I've never heard a contestant capable of putting more good sentences together than what I just heard from
Becca. I told you the 22-year-old is special.
Right.
The age is not an issue. She is wise beyond her years. She is beautiful.
I think
and
I
love
her.
And the other women are shrill, key-faced shrews sitting around going, why would he want a 22-year-old? Why would he want that? Well, she's like coming out of the water like a mermaid, like Aphrodite. I don't know why he'd want that, because he's an idiot and she's sharp. I don't know. But, man, did she eviscerate poor. But Crystal's too stupid to know. She's such
she's
a megalomaniac that she has no idea that she's being clowned by everyone.
So then she explains that she really does deserve the rose, even after all that happened.
If Ari gives me a rose tonight, it would show me that he is willing to get down and dirty and be stronger for struggle. And if he doesn't give me a rose, I feel like Ari's taking an easy way out with me.
If he doesn't give me a rose, he's taking an easy way out. So what happened is he went up to her and he said, look, why are you throwing a temper tantrum?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I really got angry and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes
he kind of sacked up for...
He did for the first time.
Yeah, he downshifted pretty well there.
And sometimes, you know, people get in fights or they mistake things and it's something that can be overcome. She said, maybe this is just our first fight. And Ari said, to his credit, maybe this is our last fight.
Ooh. Oh, damn.
Drop the mic.
It's on.
So all of the girls hate Crystal.
Yeah.
And it gets down to the rose ceremony. Will Crystal get a rose after throwing a temper tantrum?
In Fort Lauderdale.
Come on.
I believe they're in a Dick's Last Resort giving out the rose.
I'm thinking the producers are going to make damn sure Crystal's there week after week.
Crystal?
Yes.
Who makes up this rose?
Yes.
Bingo, Allie.
He gives her a rose and
of
she gets
course.
To stick around because the only interesting thing about this show is how much everybody hates Crystal.
Right.
And then they immediately go off.
It's very obvious that everyone is annoyed by Crystal receiving a rose. Everyone else deserves a rose more than Crystal does. I don't have any respect for Crystal. I think she's an immature person who thinks very highly of herself.
This makes me love Becca all the more.
I'm worried about it, though.
Why?
I'm worried that the tennis ball head is getting too wrapped up in her hatred toward Crystal. And this has destroyed more than one worthy contestant on The Bachelor.
Now, I want to see a fight.
Let's have some perspective. What is actually winning? You have to spend your life with a dullard and be interviewed by
a
baby-handed freak in Chris Harrison.
You have to date him for as long as the publicity tour after the show ends exists, which is usually 2 to 6 months.
You have to fake an engagement. That's all you have to do. It's no big deal. Yeah, no big deal.
Right.
It's not a big deal at all.
So then Crystal, at the end of the show, addresses the fact that all the other girls hate her. And if they hate her already, wait until what happens.
I guess good things are worth fighting for. Mm-hmm. It took so much courage for me to come here tonight. And I'm proud that I was able to stand here because I could have just packed my bags and left. If the girls thought that I was a threat before, then watch out, ladies.
Watch out, ladies.
And she does a thing where she goes, glitter. And she throws her hands in the air like she's throwing glitter on
no,
you.
No, she doesn't.
It's her new drop the mic.
Please stop.
She's trying to make fetch happen.
No.
Glitter.
You're making this
no,
up.
No, no.
Glitter. He's not.
That's how I'm going to leave from now on.
Glitter, I like it.
Glitter.
And that's why we love the show, because she crazy. No. And all the other girls are crazy. There's about two or three of them that actually have it going on. One of them is Becca. One of them is Sienna, which we said before.
Love her.
Yeah.
It's an interesting dynamic because usually this crazy person eventually always has to get removed.
Right.
I mean, Ari sees it now. It's laid out before him. So now they're going to spend two episodes getting rid of her.
Got it.
And then we'll find ourselves near the end of the season with some boring episodes to wade through like mud.
Well, it sounds like now's the time to be watching The
Bachelor.
Now
is the time.
Fun.
There's no about it. But we'll see how the other girls go up against each other once they, because that always happens. Everybody hates one person and then that person leaves and then you realize, wow, I hate these other people too.
The Bachelor is Monday nights at 8 on ABC, recaps Tuesday mornings on the Kevin Meach Show. Hey, P, since you're here and since there's a lot going on, not only it being Super Bowl week, but the bombshell trade between the Pistons and the Clippers yesterday has Dave, the King of Mexico, very depressed. I can't wait to hear what you have to say about it. Will you stick around for one more?
Glitter!
Glitter indeed.
So you don't have to watch.
Petros Papadakis here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock P. I know we brought you in for The Bachelor, but because of what happened with the Clippers trade yesterday, we need some help on working our way through this. I thought the Clippers were competitive. What are they doing getting rid of Blake Griffin?
My first thought was finally.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
That was my first thought. I'll tell you why, Bean, because he's always injured, and he's a guy who comes into the league, and he's got potential to be a 10.
Mm-hmm. And he's never been higher than a 5 or 6.
Oh, is it because he's a ginger?
He just doesn't deliver. No, but he just doesn't deliver.
Isn't he a perennial all-star, though?
He's a superstar. There's no doubt about it. But, so there's that. I'm with you. We'll get there.
Okay.
There is that school of thought that says, and it's like the same when Chris Paul left town. He was traded because he wasn't going to stay. And Chris Paul left, and you say, well, it's never good to lose a superstar.
Right.
But let's see what they can do.
Right.
Same thing with Blake Griffin. It's never good to lose a marketable star because we know how much the NBA is about the individual.
Yeah, he's the face of the Clippers.
There's no doubt he's probably, in fact, he is the most popular Clipper of all time. He is the highest performing Clipper of all time.
How tough is that?
It's not tough. But we're talking about perspective on this trade, not compared to the Lakers or anything else. So he's gone, and why is it good? Just like Kevin said, he's missed 100 games in the last 4 years. That's an astronomical amount for somebody you're depending on. And he's got a gigantic contract that the Clippers found somebody to take. That's the miracle.
That's insane.
Somebody that's been hurt for this much that has not been able to, whoever you blame, couldn't get along with Chris Paul for whatever reason. They could not get past the second round of the playoffs in 2013, despite being up 3-1 on the Houston Rockets. And they had J.J. Redick, Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin on the team, and Jamal Crawford as a sixth man. I mean, that's an amazing basketball
team. And a great coach.
Yeah, and a great coach, and they couldn't pull it off.
Yeah.
The other thing I like about this is that, and I'm not a capologist or somebody who will tell you how much this person's worth or when their contract's up and whose money's going where, but Jerry West is still so relevant in basketball.
Yeah.
He convinced Kevin Durant to go to the Warriors. I mean, just a couple years ago.
He did.
Yes, he's the guy. And he convinced Kobe not to.
I thought it was
to...
Steph Curry and...
It was Jerry West, they say.
Oh, okay.
They say.
Yeah.
He's the guy that convinced Kobe not to go to the Clippers when Kobe was having a meltdown back when I first started doing radio with Matt. So Jerry West is still very much involved. They pay him millions of dollars to make decisions, I believe, inside the Clipper organization. He's going to give somebody else the credit.
Mm-hmm.
But if his fingerprints are on this, that means there's a plan for the future.
Yeah.
And that is something Clipper fans could be positive about. But people are hurt. You know, this guy was a big star in town.
Okay, but why then, if all of that, and I can't dispute a word you say, people, why did the Clippers sign him to an enormous 5-year deal like a few months ago?
Because he's a superstar.
Because he's a superstar, and you have to pay somebody. But then they got out from under it, which is amazing.
Yeah.
It seems kind of ruthless. It's like, here's a scarf and some gloves. See you later.
Yeah, didn't they also raise his banner like for the re-signing?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
we're going to do all of this for you.
Yeah.
He wanted to be a Clipper for life. And when you give a guy a 5-year, $171 million deal, it sounded to me like the Clippers wanted him to be with the team as long as possible.
Yeah, and like Wayne Gretzky told us yesterday.
Smart.
Jerry West knows, and Wayne Gretzky told us yesterday, people get traded. Everybody gets traded.
It's a business.
And
yeah.
He knows that better than anyone.
And, you know, in today's day and age with these NBA players, they're so individualized. They get so butthurt so easily. They're so quick to tweet about their feelings and stuff. Leo, let's not forget that they're making tens of millions of dollars to be treated this way. Beyond that, and it's not great. I'm sad for Blake. I know that it's not cool to be traded. The first time you're traded is very difficult whenever you talk to these guys. But this is business. This is how it works. He'll be well taken care of in the beautiful city of Detroit.
Is DeAndre Jordan next?
No, apparently not. But some people think so.
Do people, I would assume like a LeBron, a Kobe, like those guys have a no trade clause type of thing.
Yes.
Could Blake just not get one?
He doesn't have, it wasn't there. Otherwise, he wouldn't be traded.
He wouldn't
be in Detroit.
But at that point, when you get to his level to command that money, you're that age and you're that hurt. Couldn't you just also say, hey, put this in there, too?
I'm not his agent. Like,
well,
I don't know how those...
Agent.
Wait a minute. You're not his agent?
No, I don't know how those... You know I'm not. I don't know how those things go down.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting what Bean said because, you know, does this... Because there's two schools of thought, and Matt and I were talking about this, and there are two parallel things. Mm-hmm. That is, are the Clippers still competitive today without Blake Griffin? Are they going to be able to make a team around what they have? And... are they going to blow up the whole team? Is DeAndre Jordan and then, of course, Lou Williams, Sweet Lou, who's going to score 50 a night now that Blake is gone,
right.
Is that going to be something that they go forward with, just scraping their ass on the bottom of the NBA like so many other teams are doing to get down to the bare bones and then build up again and not spend as much money? I don't know what they're doing, and nobody does, but Jerry West is somewhere back there, you know, and he's very smart, like Kevin says, with, four, you know, wringing his hands, going, yes, yeah, yes, you know.
If there's one person you can trust in the NBA that has a plan and is going to make things happen, it's Jerry West.
And he wants to screw the Lakers.
That's why I was so bummed that he went there.
And that's what, and who's he looking at? Let's be honest. He's looking at LeBron. You know, he's looking at LeBron coming to the Clippers. Because if you're LeBron James and you want to come to L.A., his kids are already enrolled at Viewpoint.
Right.
Okay, so LeBron James wants to come to L.A. That's kind of not a very well-kept secret.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
Does he want to be a Laker and further Lonzo Ball's career and just become another guy in a long line of Jerry West, Kareem, Magic? Or does he want to become the immortal man who brought a championship to the L.A. Clippers and rose this franchise? Because remember, Donald Sterling's not the owner anymore.
Right.
I believe the richest owner in the NBA is Steve Ballmer. He can build his own arena. He can do whatever he wants. So this is, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if he's going to move the team to Seattle. But it's very interesting, this move, because it sets up for something else. Nobody really knows what that something is.
I can't imagine LeBron coming to L.A. and not being like, listen, I want to be a Laker. And not saying, get rid of Ball. Get rid of that whole family. I want him nowhere near me.
In a second, they would get rid of him.
He can do whatever he wants, but LeBron...
He's all of a sudden the general manager and everybody else.
He wants to be bigger than whatever he's in, right? Yeah. These guys have become so huge. They've become walking conglomerates. So if LeBron is bigger... LeBron, as big as he is not bigger than the Lakers. The Lakers, it was one of the biggest sports brands in the history of the globe. LeBron James is not bigger than the Lakers.
Right.
He's bigger than the Clippers.
Yeah.
You know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's interesting. And I wouldn't be surprised if he does either. I mean, who knows what's... I'm not in the business of trying to figure out what's inside LeBron or Tom Brady's head or who's better, Tom Brady or Michael Jordan or all this crap that people in my business talk about.
Right.
But...
Yeah, Tom Brady has no three-pointer.
Right.
Maybe you can't jump.
Right.
But
the takeaway for this conversation, because sadly we are out of time, is that Clippers fans can be sad to lose Blake Griffin because they like him. But let's not give up hope that the Clippers don't still have something good ahead. Right.
Hopeful toward the future. And remember, it was always very awkward. Blake Griffin's eyes were very close together.
That's true. That was very sad. It bothered me.
Looked like a cyclone.
Do we have time to play Dave's song?
Oh, I feel like we need you one more time, right?
Yeah, because it involves Blake Griffin. And now that he's gone.
This will be it.
So this is the last time that we're going to hear Dave the King of Mexico's song about the Clippers.
Yeah.
Clipper gang.
Ooh. That's it right there.
Lil' Calm.
Yeah.
Clipper gang.
Ooh.
Oh.
Peer mug on the beat.
Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang.
Clipper gang.
Staple Center where they play. Clipper spirit lead the way. 114 cheer all day.
Oh.
King of Mexico. Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang. Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang. Blake Griffin is coming back. Clippers gonna be stacked. Lou will hold it down. Clippers making that second round. Milo's making those passes. DJ slamming on the rasses.
Jam.
Rivers playing out his mind. Gallinari about to shine.
Right.
Harold Deckery. Judge about to hit those threes.
Bingo.
Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang. Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang, Clipper gang. Yo, it's been a crazy season, but LA Clippers gonna be alright.
Nope.
It takes everything. Lil' Calm, Clipper gang, I'm out.
And Blake Griffin is too. Thanks, P-Man. Appreciate you coming by. We love you.
Thanks for making me hear that.
Clipper gang.
Making you hear that?
Yeah, that was tough.
Well, it was 6.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 8 o'clock.
It is Allie, what's happening time. But Allie, if you don't mind giving away a little bit of your time here, we have a special guest on the phone.
Take it all.
We were just told by assistant producer Christine that Talinda Bennington is on the phone. She, of course, the widow of our late great friend Chester. And Talinda, I don't think that we've had you on the Kevin and Bean Show before, but thank you for calling in this morning. How are you?
Yeah, hi. You have not. And I'm doing okay. I had to get up at some ungodly hour and go to the airport, and I was listening to you guys, and I just really want to reach out and say thank you for all that you've done and Kara has done, and your loving support and tribute of her husband, and so, you know, it hasn't gotten noticed. I haven't fallen on deaf ears with my family and myself.
That is an unbelievably sweet thing for you to say and completely unnecessary, because obviously everything that we and our listeners have said about Chester is because of Chester and because of the, you know, the appreciation we have for him and the love we feel for him and the loss that we feel for him as well. So it's just, look, when you hear someone on K-Rock talking about Chester, it's because we love and miss that dude so much.
Yeah, I can relate. it's just nice though, you know, like when I turn on my radio, or, I mean, granted, as soon as I start hearing music, I turn it off. But, you know, like, the lead up to it's really, really nice to listen to.
Tell me about the Linkin Park fans and what they mean to you and all the different support ways that they support you.
Well, Linkin Park fans are amazing. I refer to them as family. I started a little, you know, movement on Twitter addressing them after Chester passed away, because I was receiving tweet after tweet about, you know, they don't know where to go on, they don't know what to do, and that broke my heart, because I know Chester would never have wanted to leave anybody in that way. And it just came to me that although I can't help every person,
right,
I could, you know, retweet those tweets and ask, you know, the family, the LP family, to lift them up and support them. And that's definitely grown into something beautiful. And it's led to, you know, 320 and everything I'm doing with them. And
I wanted to ask you about that, Talinda, that you made reference to 320. That, of course, is Chester's birthday. What is being planned for that day? Do you know yet?
I don't know what's going on for the actual day. I think I'm going to just talk to Warner and hopefully keep it low key, because we are trying to figure out where to put his memorial site. And that is, I mean, there's a lot of us that have opinions,
yeah,
and still a really sensitive time. But I definitely want to do something for his birthday, you know, and I just don't know.
I got to tell you, it's amazing to me that you have to deal with him personally, and you have to deal with him for your family, and still you're reaching out to fans and you're trying to help them as well. I don't know where you get all that strength from.
Well, they give me the strength. They do. They give me the strength. They make his death have some sort of meaning to it. You know, in a world full of chaos and, you know,
No, we're losing her.
Are you there?
Yeah, we can. Here we go. Yeah, on and off. Yes.
In a world full of, you know, chaos and nonsensical, you know, things happening, this makes sense. This adds order to it. It's healing for my children as well. And you know, I partnered up with Change Direction, and so we needed 320 Change Direction, and we're just kind of taking over right now. We're really doing a lot of work to change the mental health culture and our landscape. And I'm actually on my way right now to Canada. Do you know who? Remember Jim Digby? He's a production manager.
I don't think I do. No.
He's so funny. But it's his event. It's for Canada's National Mental Health Day.
Okay,
so I'm out of breath because I'm.
That's okay.
Plane.
Yeah, we're gonna let you go. We're gonna let you go.
Are you missing your plane because of this? Because
I hope I'm not missing it.
I hope not too.
That would be because of you. That's because of me, and I'm like eternally late. I can't figure it out yet.
Well, and the airlines just don't wait for you. That's just not how they roll. So we will let you hang up. But listen, Talinda, as I said when you came on, completely unnecessary for you to make this call. We love and miss Chester, and we are here for you as a show and as a station, and any help you need going forward for the good work that you are doing, please reach out to us and let us know how we can assist in that, either whether it's on the air or online or whatever we can do for you. We'd be happy to, okay?
Thank you, guys. Love you guys a lot. And the goal of my call today was just to say hi and reach out and let you know that we're doing okay. We're getting through it. And, you know, your support's appreciated. It doesn't fall on deaf ears.
That's fantastic. Really great to hear.
Yeah.
It is.
That really means a lot.
We love you, too. Get on that flight, Talinda. We'll talk to you again, okay? Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye now.
Well, that was unexpected, but it's you can't put yourself in the shoes of somebody who has been through what she has been through and what their kids have been through, mm-hmm. and the whole family and the LP family too over the last 8 months.
But she's the sweetest, nicest, just kind, fun-loving person that you'll ever meet. I love her.
It's so nice to see her turning the worst of all possible things into something positive too. You know, so thank you, Talinda, for that call. We appreciate it.
It's really fantastic to hear from Talinda Bennington.
Sure was.
That was really
nice. Yeah, it was. Hey, Michael Catherwood.
Yo.
You brought an interesting conversation point off the air to us the other day that I think we may want to throw out to our listeners and get their take on it.
Yeah.
You got a personal decision looming, and I want to hear where we're at and what you're debating.
I just like to vote before I even hear it, and I would say go with the sex change.
All right. All right. I'm going to go with it.
All right.
It's a new day and age.
Right.
I have a motorcycle. I've had a couple. The one I have now is the coolest by far.
Okay.
I have no problem bragging about it. I have a super badass motorcycle.
what makes it badass? It's just fast?
It's a classic. It's a 1968 BSA. And it's all kind of customized, cafe racered out. I feel like I'm Steve McQueen or something. I
mean, you spent your entire life loving motorcycles and
cars and motorcycles?
Okay.
Cars,
okay.
Like
okay.
Just a real gearhead. And
okay. So this was a dream purchase when you got there.
Yeah. And it was, you know, I knew I was taking on a lot of burden because it's an old British motorcycle. It's not exactly the most reliable machine there is, but man, is it cool! Every time I take it somewhere, every time someone walks by and I have it parked out in front, someone comments. It's like super sweet.
All right.
But I'm a realist and I'm also a father now.
Right.
And they're not safe. Riding motorcycles are wildly dangerous. And a lot of things are dangerous, but the stakes are so high on a motorcycle, even the slightest accident can mean your life.
And it's not about you being a good rider. It's about people not paying attention to the fact that there are motorcycles on the road.
If you even ride, you don't have to be in an 18-wheeler, just in a SUV or something. It's really heartbreaking how many people are texting while they drive. And it just takes one of those people to end your life when you're in a motorcycle, as opposed to a fender bender, you will fly through the air and you will die.
Right.
And so I got to thinking, even though I love owning the motorcycle, I love turning wrenches on it or, you know, hiring someone to do it because I'm the world's worst mechanic, and riding it, I have to look at it in the big picture and think that I have people
you're
that
like
I'm responsible
living more.
For. Yeah, and I, you know, I'm a father and... So I was just one. I'm having a real kind of internal debate of whether or not to sell the motorcycle or continue riding it because I get so much joy out of it.
Is this coming from you or is this coming from Bianca?
Yeah, totally from me. My wife is very understanding about it.
You know, it's
she
funny.
Probably wants you gone.
She hasn't directly said I need you to get out of my life,
but she has bought a lot of life insurance.
Yeah,
for you.
Extra couple of motorcycles.
I will say that. Well, first of all, let's open it up to the listeners at 1-800-520-1067. If you've been at this point where Mike is, where you had to decide whether it was worth the thrill of riding a motorcycle because of the danger involved, we want to hear from you. How did you decide? And even if you're not a motorcyclist, help Mike make a decision on this. What should he be thinking about? So give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. I will tell you, I had a little bit of this in my own family, Michael. My brother is a big-time motorcycle guy as well. And my parents forbade us, but it didn't apply to me, but forbade us from ever getting a motorcycle. That was like the one thing my mom would say is, whatever you do, don't get a motorcycle because I hate those things and I'm scared of those things and you're going to get hurt and it's not worth it and it's dangerous. And all the stuff people have said throughout all of history. Right?
Guaranteeing that your brother would get one.
Yeah.
He absolutely did. He went out and got a motorcycle and just would not, I mean, just had to hide it from her. You know, he wasn't living at home anymore, but he had to like show up and not let her see him coming because he didn't want her to know that he had a motorcycle. He rode a motorcycle in secret, even though he was an adult. He wouldn't let my mom know that he went against her advice and got a motorcycle until the day that he had to, when he got sideswiped by a car and broke his leg on the motorcycle.
Oh, no.
And then she had to come visit him in the hospital. And that's how she found out that he had a motorcycle, because he got in a big old wreck exactly as she predicted he would if he had a motorcycle.
And let's say, look, Bean brought out a good example. chances are low if you get in an accident that, you know, I'm gonna die. I mean, it's a terribly morbid thing to say, but
that's a lot higher than a car, though.
It's a lot higher than a car.
Yeah.
And it's incredibly high that if I get even in an accident, I'm going to break something.
Right.
And that's time off work. That's a major inconvenience. That who knows how much the bills. So it's not just about like, hey, well, they're death machines. Yeah, they're also incredibly just irresponsible overall. You
right.
think about like what really happens if you just – if a guy just, you know, hits your back wheel. Or,
what percentage of the time do you ride it?
No, I'm not a huge writer, but I'm awfully
because I think that
safe.
Makes a difference.
Yeah.
Maybe you're right on a Sunday morning when there's no one around or whatever.
You're not commuting 90 minutes a day each way or something on a bike.
I putz around Venice, and I've made a commitment. I don't go in the canyons and go racing, and I don't go on the freeway. You know, I have enough irresponsibility in my car engines that I can get, you know, the thrill out of that, you know?
All right. Well, look at these calls that are coming in. Boy, they couldn't be more across the spectrum. Why don't we start with, let's start with John in Long Beach real quick. He's on line one.
All right. Hey, John, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. Thank you.
Advice for Mike.
Advice, Mike, you know what? I have a 14-year-old boy. I had the classic Moto Guzzi, the ZX7R, you know,
nice.
The whole thing, and I sold them as soon as my son was born. I think it's the smartest thing you could do is either put
pussy.
Them away for as long as you can.
I'm sorry, what?
Pussy.
What?
Yeah,
yeah,
go ahead.
I'm trying to hear you guys. A little scratchy. A little throw.
Again,
okay.
Dean?
All right. So you sold your motorcycle just because you just didn't. You weren't willing to take that risk anymore when you had kids to depend on you.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I get the fact, you know, he could just a little fender bender and break an arm, but you know what? As you get older, you know, it could lead into a little bit more than just breaking an arm or hurting yourself. Then you can't really be there for your son or your daughter and really, you know, do the things that you want to do.
Let me ask this, John. Have you regretted selling it?
Yes.
But
every day.
Every day
you regret.
Oh, but, damn. I didn't see that coming.
Okay, but still the right decision.
Yes, yeah, still the right decision. I still go back and I still believe in that decision. As a matter of fact, my dad ended up giving me a Vulcan Classic about 6 years ago, because he's like, oh, you got to get it back out there. You got to ride again. You got to ride. And I ended up flipping around and getting rid of it about 3 years later because I just felt I didn't feel it anymore. It just scared. Just too much pressure.
Okay.
I didn't want to leave my son.
All right. Thank you, John.
I feel like, though, if some days John's son is being a dick, he's like, should have kept the bike, right? Right? Gotta be.
That happens all the time with my daughter. I was like, yeah, really? Today? You're really pressuring me. And so
appreciate
we can confirm John is alive, so that was a good choice.
That's a point for getting rid of the bike.
Okay. Seem like
John
that's
is
a
alive.
Positive.
Okay.
All right. However, there are several people online who disagree, by the way, who say don't sell the bike. You will regret it, Mike, if you do. We'll hear from them and you at 1-800-520-1067 when we return on K-Rock.
Just ahead of Muse, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Mindy in Northridge. Hi, Mindy.
Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. Mike Catherwood is thinking of finally selling his motorcycle. He's starting to think maybe it's too dangerous now that he's got a kid. What say you?
I say he absolutely has to get rid of the motorcycle.
Mm.
Every motor. I see so many motorcycle accidents. I'm an accident attorney, and they're so much more dangerous than any other kind of accident. You could end up paralyzed just in the blink of an eye because a car hit you. People do stupid stuff with texting, and on a motorcycle, you're so vulnerable.
What are the numbers, if you know, Mindy, of percentage of motorcyclists who get involved in accidents versus people who are driving traditional cars?
You know, I don't know, but you could just listen to the morning traffic report, and you'll hear in Southern California, in L.A. especially, every morning there's always a motorcycle down.
Yeah.
You hear it every morning. It's what's blocking the traffic.
Mike, you going to take this from a woman?
Yeah, sure.
What's wrong with you, Bean?
I'm just saying, why doesn't Mindy want Mike to have any fun, man? Why don't you just cut his testicles off while you're at it, Mindy?
I want him to be there for his kids and his wife.
There you go.
I don't want my kids to ever ride a motorcycle. I've seen young people get killed in just little fender benders, you know, flying off the back of the motorcycle and the helmet's flying off.
Well, you definitely know what you're talking about, and we appreciate you sharing that expertise with us. Thank you, Mindy. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next, coming up after Muse on Wolf Famous K-Rock.
Our friend Psycho Mike has grown up.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little.
I'm trying.
Like an adult, like a father in some ways.
Before we go to Nick on line two talking about the debate on whether Mike should continue riding a motorcycle, here's Neri from Long Beach. Guys, I've had a motorcycle for years. I love them. I've even been in some minor incidents that fortunately didn't end in any injury. My wife was fine with me riding and trusted me, but was everyone else she didn't trust, and neither do I.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah.
As you pointed out, Mike, with people on their phones these days, it's more dangerous than ever before. You know, it's really like...
But does he have kids? Does he mention having kids?
It's coming up, yeah. Okay. It's really like with the people and their phone use behind the wheel, it's like going out where 60% of the people are drunk driving at any given time with the distractions. Yes, he has kids. When we had our son, I sold my bike.
Oh.
I am looking forward to when he is out of college because I will then get a bike again. That's what I'm looking forward to. Then I'll be old, but I can feel young again on two wheels. Good luck, Mike, but your beautiful daughter is well worth more than any happiness you may be getting on your motorcycle, says Neri from Long Beach.
All right, let's go
all right,
to...
That's what he says, but let's see what Nick says.
Hi, Nick.
He's saying he's going to get a bike when he graduates high school. His kid graduates college to keep him young again. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm looking at young Poon to do for me.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying, Alex?
All right, great.
No, so maybe...
Nick, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right. What's going on?
Don't sell the bike.
Don't sell the bike.
Whoa. Look, emphatically, he says.
I have three kids. Second grade, kinder, and a two-year-old.
But do they like you?
Okay. I bought my first bike when my daughter, my firstborn, was an infant. My wife just got her license in October. We picked up a second Harley. We love riding. Now, my issue is the statement that motorcycles are dangerous. Absolutely not.
No. Motorcycles aren't dangerous, but other drivers not paying attention are dangerous.
Exactly. But that statement was said earlier. So that is the statement that's usually made about motorcycles. I totally agree. We're vulnerable. It's dangerous. The consequences are much higher. Mm-hmm. But we also live in a very dense, populated metropolitan.
Right.
Cruising around, putting around Venice. You know, that's probably one of the most congested areas to ride. I would encourage you, before you make the decision to sell the bike, go out of the city. Get out of state. Go up the mountains. Find out why you fell in love with riding. Do it again. Even if you want to take a break because you got the baby and everything, totally understandable. I get it. I got three kids, and I worry about that all the time. But you can't let that stop you from doing what you love, man. If you love it, don't sell the bike. You're going
to
regret it.
Can I ask you a question? If your wife wasn't so into it and you didn't ride together, would that make a difference?
No, she actually just started riding. We've been riding together as passenger and rider for the last few years. Mm-hmm. And then I actually encouraged it. There's a huge scene for women riders in all over the U.S., but
right.
A big one here in Southern California.
So, Nick, you're perfectly fine with your kids losing both parents.
Oh,
that's what you're saying.
That's the way to look at it.
Well, they'll be in good hands, but...
as long as you fought it through.
Okay.
I love Nick. I want to hang out with Nick a lot.
And I think mission accomplished. Tonight is the State of the Union, you guys. It's one of the responsibilities of the presidency. In fact, you are required to do it.
Woohoo!
And Mr. Trump is going to be in front of both sessions of Congress and the Supreme Court, an invited guest tonight to give a speech. And then after that, a lot of the TV shows are going live with analysis, and not just the news channels. Stephen Colbert is doing a live show tonight. The Daily Show with Trevor Noah is doing a live show tonight. And the opposition with Jordan Klepper, too. Very funny guy. If you guys have not been checking out this show, he's kind of playing an Alex Jones style Infowars.com kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really funny.
It is good, yeah.
Very smart, very bright guy. And when we were in New York City, was it just yesterday?
Oh, God, it was.
It was only yesterday?
Feels like a week ago.
Yep. It feels like at least a week ago. We had Jordan to talk about what the special is going to be like tonight. We thought you might enjoy it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
We're going to debate the merits of Ronda Rousey's decision to go to the WWE coming up just after 9 with a friend of ours here on the world famous K-Rock. First, though, 8:53, as Kevin mentioned, it is Tuesday morning. Allie's here for What's Happening.
Do you remember we talked about this whole Meek Mill situation? He's the rapper. He was sentenced, I think, 2 to 4 years. But then there were questions about the judge, and she wanted him to re-record a Boyz II Men song, Shout Her Out.
That was one of the weirdest stories ever.
Yeah. And then she wanted him to leave Roc Nation and sign with her friend. This whole convoluted thing. Well, Meek Mill's legal team has just suffered a huge setback because we've now come to find out that judge had nothing to do with any of that.
What?
It was Meek's probation officer that was asking all of those things. So all these court transcripts came out, and she was like, I'm sorry, what? You thought I was? Wait, what?
Yeah, so because that makes no sense.
It makes no sense, and obviously you would throw out that case if the judge is doing that.
In a second.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it wasn't her. It was his probation officer. But just to make things weirder, this happened just a little while ago with Meek Mill during a probation violation hearing.
Mm-hmm.
He was passed a note by a woman saying, listen, I have bad credit. I'm unable to secure a loan or co-sign anything on a loan for my son. Anything that you can do is very much appreciated. This woman slips a note to Meek Mill saying, I need money. Turns out she's a clerk for the judge.
Okay.
What is happening in this courtroom?
I'm not positive that I initially buy all that because you don't hear stories like this for rich people, let alone Meek Mill.
And for all of this to happen in one court case? Well, this woman has now been fired, so she's gone. But at what point do you just say, you know what? Let's try it again for your next parole violation, because it's probably going to happen, because you have a million of them. Let's just let him go at this point, because this is a headache for our court department.
Wow, that's crazy.
Can you believe that?
Oh.
And the balls on you to hand a guy in court, listen, I want my son to stay in school.
I know you're having some problems right now, but
can I borrow some money?
Cash.
I know you got it. How crazy is that? Kind of love that story. If this show doesn't have Kevin Ryder written all over it,
okay.
How about a series starring a drunk hitman?
Okay.
That's the concept behind the new sci-fi series Happy, and it's going to star former Law and Order SVU star Christopher Maloney. Here's where it gets real good. As an intoxicated, corrupt ex-cop turned hitman whose life is turned around by a tiny, relentlessly positive, imaginary blue-winged horse named Happy.
That show is already on. That's already on. We had Patton Oswalt in to promote it.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, season one's already in the books. It's a very funny show.
Is that Adult Swim?
I think it's sci-fi.
Sci-fi? I think it was sci-fi, I want to say. But yeah, Christopher Maloney, you've never seen him like this before.
How am I just getting this news on today's update?
That person is unreliable.
I can't imagine. But were you not here? You were or were not here when we had Patton Oswalt in?
I was
not
here.
Was that when you were sick around
Acoustic Christmas? Was he here talking about that show?
Yeah, that's what he was on for, yeah.
I wasn't here.
Specifically about that show.
Yeah.
No.
He was great. He's great on it. And the show's definitely worth checking out.
Well, apparently it's new. Variety reports of the show's based on the graphic novel. God damn it! I was so pumped for this, and I was bringing you this breaking news.
Well, the good news for you,
you can still be pumped.
Yeah, you can go home and binge season one right now.
God damn it. Let's talk more about Meek Mill. All right, moving along.
You were so happy with that story.
And you're all like, yeah, it's a great show. Wait, what? Did you guys get screeners? How'd you see it? All right. I'm never reading from that source again. Is Billy Corgan one of the most insufferable D-bags ever?
I can't decide. There are times where I certainly feel like he presents that way, but mm-hmm. there are other times where he just seems like a guy who's just passionate about what he does and still seems to be energized and excited by music. And I know there are a lot of Smashing Pumpkins fans that still hold out hope he's got more good music in him.
Yeah.
I don't know. Why do you bring it up?
Yes.
Oh. What? Okay, Kevin. Okay.
I just sneezed. Sorry.
Did you? All right. I get it. Well, he posted a picture, and it shows Rick Rubin. And apparently he's going to be producing the new reunion album.
Wow,
but here's what he wrote.
We're currently in the studio with Rick Rubin, but unless I show you a picture of Rick sitting Buddha-like in a mixing desk, you probably wouldn't know that. What?
Like, how is
what?
He already mad at us?
Why are you so angry? We're just looking at your feed. Why are you so mad?
It's possible. There are people who try to be funny and come off completely not funny. Those yeah. people exist, and it's just okay. one of those things that it's just a tragedy. I mean,
but you're yeah. just summarizing our whole radio career,
sure,
Kevin.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Well, let's leave this what's happening on a positive note for guys like Mike Catherwood and Bean.
Okay.
Who love Mastodon.
Mm-hmm. I love Mastodon.
They're going on tour, a 2-month tour beginning May 6th at Red Rocks with none other than Primus.
Oh, wow.
Right?
What?
Bean.
I guess I can get there late. I can miss Primus and just see Mastodon, I guess.
You don't think Primus is going to headline that?
Primus oh, sucks.
Then
that's
I
what
can
I
be
hear.
Early. That's what I hear, too. Whoever said that was right.
They are not right, but I do like what you did there, Kevin.
Thank you.
You don't like Primus, man?
Hate him. Hate him. Well, one or two songs is fine, but in general, I've never gotten the hype over that.
You're band. A terrible human being.
I've just never gotten it.
You're not a good human being.
Get well, off my phone.
All right.
Is he on your phone?
I accept yeah, that. Look, I understand that there are some bands that are great that just aren't for everybody, and this is just a band that is their appeal escapes me.
How about this? What if I told you there's a series that stars a drunk hitman?
I'm in.
Yeah. An intoxicated, corrupt ex-cop. I hate it.
I believe
we
covered Happy?
It is.
Oh, that sounds so good. When does it start?
I hate all of you.
It's so funny that when Ali started that story and said, hey, there's a new show called Happy, I thought, how are they going to get around that problem? That title's already being used by that great Patton Oswalt, Christopher Maloney show. What are they going to do about that?
Yeah.
That is the same.
Turns out.
Same show.
Same show. Happy birthday, Christian Bale. Happy birthday, Andy Milonakis, Wilmer Valderrama, Dick Cheney. Jensen Karp's favorite, Phil Collins, and Jalen Rose, and that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
Dear Bean, writes Simon, you just got to look at the WWE as a soap opera for men. That's an interesting idea. There are love stories and fights and lots of good-looking people and lots of drama. The only difference is that these actors are crazy fit and athletic. Once you look at it like that, your expectations will be different.
Boom!
All right, okay. Simon. Appreciate that. 9:38, it is Tuesday morning. Time for one final look at what's happening. Here's Allie.
It's hard for a lot of people to, you know, find sympathy in the Blake Griffin trade. If you're like, listen, he makes over $30 million a year. Yeah, he's moving to Detroit. He thought he'd spend his whole life here.
Detroit does suck.
I know, it does. But in the grand scheme of things, things are going to be okay.
Sure, he's
making
it. Yeah.
Blake Griffin.
Sure.
Unless he goes online and sees this. I mean, you know, Lolo Jones, she's a hurdler. I think she's a bobsledder, too. Amazing
she's
athlete.
Amazing, yeah.
Well, somebody wrote on her Instagram, I think Lolo Jones has a thing for Blake Griffin. To which she responded, nah, I went on a date with him. Worst date of my life. And he's a terrible kisser.
Why'd he have to?
Going through some. And then with the bad
how
kissing.
Come? Why?
Why the how come, Lolo?
Right.
So that's kind of a bummer. If he's waking up, maybe wants to do a little quick Google search of himself.
I don't think you need to share on the internet how good or bad a lover is or a boyfriend is or a date is with the world. Do you?
No.
Not really, but I think if it's good, fine, because no one would hate that.
Right.
If it's bad, keep it to yourself.
Right.
I think.
Not good. We talked about the celebrity Big Brother that's coming in about a week and all the range of people, if you will. For a lot of these people, this is a pretty darn good payday. They apparently signed a base deal just to go into the house of about $200,000.
Wow.
And then the longer that they're able to stick around, they get paid more and more. And sources say the winner is going to take home $500,000. That's a $500,000 for what? A couple weeks of work.
That's crazy.
That's nuts.
I'm rooting for
Count Smokey Love.
I don't think he made the house this year. Shit. Yeah. Yeah. But hopefully we'll talk to Mark McGrath soon. And Meta World Peace. We got to talk to him.
Agreed.
He's going to be the most fun to watch.
Remember when he showed up after the Lakers won the championship the next day and was still in his uniform?
On our show, you were
no.
On our show, yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't shower, do anything? No.
On the morning show, the day after they won the championship, he came in his uniform and he was still up. It was awesome.
He went out all night
yes.
in that thing.
Yes.
Came in. That's yes. magic.
It was awesome.
Oh, goodness. Well, we all know Quincy Jones. Just say he's worked with some of the greatest musicians of all time. He has 28 Grammys.
Yeah.
He's phenomenal. He knows it all. If you're going to trust anyone's opinion on someone in the industry, it's probably going to be Quincy Jones, right?
Michael Jackson's Thriller, for God's sakes, along with...
The dude's amazing.
50 other...
So GQ asked him, you know, what are some of the current artists you're fans of? So he said Kendrick, Bruno Mars, Drake, Mary J. Blige, Common, Jennifer Hudson. And then this interviewer, Chris Heath, decided, well, now I should probably ask him about Taylor Swift. Resulting in Jones giving a look described as, quote, somewhere between disapproval and disdain. So the interviewer said, well, what's wrong with her? And he said, we need more songs, man. Effing songs, not hooks. And the interviewer said, well, some people consider her the greatest songwriter of our age. And he laughed at that and said, whatever crumbles your cookie. But here's the part that just made me go, oh, this is an interesting take, and I'm going to believe him. The interviewer said, so if you were producing a record for Taylor Swift, what would you have her do? And he said, I'll figure something out.
Retire.
Man, the song is the S-H blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. That's what people don't realize. A great song can make the worst singer in the world a star. A bad song can't be saved by the three best singers in the world. I learned that 50 years ago. So then the interviewer, obviously Bean, going by the name Chris Heath, right. says, well, plenty of people talk as though Taylor Swift has great songs. And he says, but they don't know, man. They don't know. I've come and gone through 7 decades of this-ish. Seen all that. Seen how that works. Ignorance is no thing. Holy crap!
Right? Quincy Jones.
Like, you can ask me another question about Taylor. I'm going to continue pooping on her. I'm not coming back around. And then this part I liked. He started the interview by saying, I always get in trouble for talking too much. That's why my daughter calls me LLQJ, Loose Lips Quincy Jones. Bean, that's got to hurt.
It doesn't hurt.
Why did you keep asking questions?
Why did... Like, he wasn't gonna...
And here's why.
Okay.
That's racist.
Look, let me hear... I don't want to accuse anyone of being racist. I think it's an ugly word, and I don't want to hang that on a legend whom I respect, like Quincy Jones. But let's hear, if you wouldn't mind, Allie, at the beginning of your story, the list of artists that he does admire. Again, please.
Oh, were you going to say because they are all African-American?
No, let's just hear who they are first, and then we could decide.
Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
Bruno Mars.
All right.
Drake.
Uh-huh.
Mary J. Blige.
Uh-huh.
Common.
Right.
Jennifer Hudson. Mm-hmm.
These are the names that he came up with of artists he admires. Okay.
By the way, all great artists.
You can't all great artists.
You can't
all
argue that.
Yeah.
But then you get to the little white girl from Pennsylvania, and all of a sudden Mr. Quincy Jones has no time for
that
her.
That specific white girl being
That's just interesting.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying. By the way, again, I respect Quincy Jones a lot, but in this same GQ interview, he says that Elvis Presley was a terrible singer.
Like, terrible singer, or that he stole, like, his whole act from...
Read down. Look in the last paragraph you have in front of you there, Allie. What did he say? What are the words he used about Elvis Presley? So, Quincy Jones isn't right about everything.
He is, however, right about Taylor Swift.
That's
the one thing
racist.
We know.
Yeah, I just, it's too many words.
Yeah, we don't have time for her to read a whole article right now, if you don't mind being.
Yeah.
Maybe she could do that later.
It was short. I just thought. It was I'm just pointing it out that he's not. Elvis Presley's lack of talent. The quote from Quincy Jones, the mother effer couldn't sing, is what Quincy said about Elvis. Possibly the greatest singer of all time.
What?
Back to you, Allie.
Okay,
possibly
that's
the greatest singer of all time.
That's insane.
That's insane.
Elvis Presley is not at least on your short list of the greatest singers of all time.
No,
oh, have you not heard his voice?
Hold on. Greatest artist of all time? Maybe.
Singer?
No. No, sir.
This is unbelievable. I can't believe I'm even hearing this.
You can't be serious right now.
Elvis Presley is one of the greatest singers of all time. Maybe the greatest singer of all time.
No. Mm-mm. No. No. No, no, no. No. Hell no. 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 I refuse. No. No.
Bean, I could go to Koreatown this weekend and hear 10 dudes doing karaoke that are better than Elvis Presley.
Well, you're mistaken.
No! No!
One of the best singers of all time.
Undeniably.
No, idiot.
Undeniably.
That's ridiculous. Undeniable. Not even top five. Not, you're
not
right.
Even top,
top
20.
Two.
Wait,
I would say top two. Maybe top one.
I would go great artist because of his influence.
Talking about singing. As a singer.
No.
Talking about that voice.
No.
Talking about that magic voice.
No, sir.
No.
Wow. I am.
No.
I don't even know how to feel right now.
Well, you should feel wrong is how you should feel.
No!
I usually do.
And lay off Taylor, too, by the way, while you're at it.
Listen.
Quincy. You see that? You see that? You see how white people do?
Right, right, lady? Right? Goodness. Let me just wrap it up with this story, because I am fascinated by this. A man named David Kupferstein is suing the Hustler Club for $1 million. After he says a stripper punched him in the face and knocked out his tooth. Why did she do that? Well, apparently she was dancing with him and his friends, and as she's dancing, they're chatting. And she brings up the fact that one of her kids has been getting into a little trouble with the police, you know, as she's gyrating, just telling a little story, to which he responds, which all women love to hear. Well, it sounds like you're a bad mother.
Oh.
So as he began to take a sip of his drink, she popped him in the mouth, knocking out his tooth. Bouncers escort him out and then brought the tooth to him. They're like, here, dude.
Here's your tooth. Sorry
about
that.
Tooth in there. But apparently they said they were going to cover his dental, but then they wound up saying no, whatever. So he's suing. But this just in, if a lady's dancing for you, maybe keep some of the judgments inside voice. Maybe when she turns around to leave, just be like, not a great mom, to your friend. Something like that. Maybe not to her.
Yeah.
Who's with me?
Don't say that to anyone.
Listen,
they could be the worst mom in the world. Don't say it to
don't,
them.
Don't. Yeah. Don't. It's right up there with telling a woman to relax.
Right.
Dudes, don't do it.
It usually works, though, right?
It will never,
it never works,
ever.
Right. That's my point.
Wind up in your favor. Some birthdays for you. Actor Andy Milonakis. Christian Bale.
Oh, good. Oh, good for you. And how was it?
Remix.
That was good. Wilmer Valderrama, Phil Collins, Jalen Rose, and Dick Cheney. What is with you?
Welcome back,
Kevin. Remix. Good job. That's what's happening.
Thank you, Elliot. And drive home tomorrow morning. An all-new Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know what micro-cheating is, but apparently it's a thing, and you can get in trouble for it.
Well, then you're apparently guilty of it. Sounds like you've got a lot to hide.
Not positive that's true. World Star Wednesdays, as we do now. We have a person who is going to run the Boston Marathon backwards.
Just take the route backwards?
No, run backwards. To which I say, stop it.
That's weird.
And Rich Eisen talking about the Super Bowl tomorrow morning.